Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you all here, even at a distance. Anyway, thank you for this opportunity to come and share a little about the Lighthouse. I appreciate that you have shown an interest in this work for different reasons over the years, and it's good to be able to, that you've taken the time to be here tonight. That's encouraging for me. So thank you for that. I just want to read one verse tonight, which is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And it says this: when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So, I mean, you'll know this story well, about the paralyzed man who's taken by four of his friends to Jesus for healing. However, when they arrive at the house, they find that it's absolutely packed out and they can't get near Jesus. So they spend some time in dialogue and they come up with this creative solution to the problem by going up and taking off the roof and lowering their friend down to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he responds by offering this paralyzed man forgiveness and healing. And this man was restored both spiritually and physically. Now, I've often wondered what would happen if only one guy had turned up to help this paralyzed man. Yeah? He may be filled with compassion. He may really, really care for the guy. He may well have put him on his back and humped him down the road single-handedly. But then, when he saw the crowds, he would have been struggling with that. Just this wall of people and a packed house. I mean, how on earth was he going to get through all that to this packed house as well? He may have had to admit defeat and basically say to the guy, "Well, I'm terribly sorry, but we're not going to be able to see Jesus today, and I think we'll just have to go back up the road." And you can imagine how heavy every one of those steps would be of discouragement in failing in his duty to bring this man to Jesus because of the obstacles. But what a difference when four guys turn up and take a corner each and share the burden. When four guys face the obstacles of the crowd, when four guys enter into dialogue and say, "How are we going to solve this problem?" When four guys are much more courageous. You can't imagine one guy going up and taking off the roof. That would be a lot of pain to bear when everybody's shouting at you. But if four of you decide to make a pretty risky decision and get up on the roof and tear off the roof because you are so convicted, you want to bring this person to Jesus, then the chances are you will achieve far more working with other people than just working on your own. These guys were a faith community on the move. And when the faith community works together and carries together and moves along together and faces obstacles together and finds creative solutions together, then that is the community that will be in a stronger position to lead people to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw their faith, not just his faith, notice, their faith, then he healed this man and forgave his sins. Now today, I want us to think about this man as representing sections of our communities that are paralyzed by drugs, or paralyzed by alcohol, or crime, or worklessness, or boredom, or poverty, or mental health, or violence, and ask the question, how are we going to encourage healing of this kind of paralysis that is deeply affecting our community and our city as a whole? Well, the first thing is, we're not going to be able to bring transformation working on our own. That's the first thing. And I think that's really important. The need and the burden is just too overwhelming. And today, we need to work more in partnership. That's it. End of story. There's only 3% evangelical in Scotland today. 3%. And churches today need to work in partnership if we are going to make any difference to the city. And at the Lighthouse Support Centre, we encounter many people who are paralysed in life through broken relationships, addiction, poverty, debt, worklessness, ill health, and sometimes victims of disturbing forms of domestic abuse. And the only way to deal with such difficult aspects of our paralysed culture is to work as a team for its renewal. You know, I had a guy come in to see me today, yeah? I mean, and it's just such a sad situation. You know, he's about, 19 years of age. His mother died when he was 8 with an overdose. His father's in and out of prison, a well-known criminal. He himself is now an addict. He's got nobody in his life. And, you know, desperately looking for a change of life and a change of direction, you know? And it's been a hard road for him. He's got mental health issues as well, never had a job, and just in despair. And he's not alone. There's hundreds like him, hundreds. And so if we're going to try and move a paralyzed culture closer to Jesus for his healing and forgiving powers, then that means working together. Now, in my missional world of the Lighthouse, that looks a bit like this, yeah? That the four corners, if you like, are working with the council and the police, other churches, which is a big thing, community network and other agencies. Now, obviously, not all are going to share the same level of faith. The bottom line is some people we work with have no faith at all. In fact, some might even be anti-faith and vocal about it. But two things I've learned over the years, and that is the church needs to take the faith initiative. Yeah, we need to be in the driving seat when it comes to trying to bring some sort of renewal within our city. And secondly, God has his people everywhere. That's one of the things that has been a great encouragement for me, that when you fly the flag of faith and try to go and do things and get involved with other people, then often Christians come out of the woodwork and they are there to help you. They are looking for the same opportunities. And that, I think, has been very encouraging for me. I can give you an example of that. We had an inspector in Tullydrone for a while in the police who came in one day at the Lighthouse and said, look, domestic abuse is through the roof here in Woodside and Tully. It's the highest in the city. And, you know, there's not enough happening. And the police are overstretched and dealing with all these cases. And the phone never stops ringing. And he says, would you guys be interested in partnering to try and take some of the burden if we can send people to you? And the result of that is we're now linked up with Women's Aid, and Women's Aid are now doing the training for us presently. We've done 2 training sessions already. We've got 1 more to do. And the plan would be to set up a domestic abuse group in partnership with the police and Women's Aid. Yeah. Now, that's just one little example. But, you know, in the midst of all that, we can pull from their resources, and that gives us a certain amount of security, but also we can keep flying the flag of faith. And that's really important. Yeah? Now, none of this, of course, is without risk. I recognize that. But as Nicky Gumbel always used to say, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And I think that's true in these circumstances as well. So, we have many partners that do different things. And I've just put up a number of them here, loads of people that we partner with through the years for different reasons, but all of them play some sort of connection with the Lighthouse. And for me, this is one of the big things that we need to be public with our faith in these partnerships, because we're not just trying to reach all the broken people that come to us. It's an opportunity to also speak the gospel into those we're partnering with as well. Yeah? So it puts us in a really strong position to do that. And I feel quite strongly about this in relation to the secular powers of the city. You know, I often feel that the church seems to be intimidated into the position that everybody's against us. My experience is that's not actually true. The city is broken. Broken. And you know this, all agencies are stretched to their max. And actually, they're really supportive. If anybody comes along that might actually help with some of the situations that we're facing within our context today. So don't be afraid. And the second thing is, of course, we partner with the other churches. Our past Chief Constable Colin McKeracher often said that churches across the city are a massive untapped resource. And I believe that to be true. There's so much potential in the church that still needs to be mobilized for the good of the city. Now, if you consider the small window in Dawnside, there are a number of exciting things happening actually in church plants. Barry Douglas is in Seaton, yeah? He managed to get a piece of land for a song, and now he's putting up a new church building. Can you believe this? In Seaton right now. He's wanting about £400,000, but he's well on his way to get that money. God is clearly at work in that situation. Then you come up the road to the mission, and you've got Hector and Stephen Hamilton there. Very much connected to the university and also Scripture Union. Pamela Sloan and others work out of that office, and they're doing a good work in getting Scripture Union into more and more schools. And then further up the road, you have City Church in St. Margaret Academy. You come across to us at the Lighthouse. And then you go up to Woodside, and there's the church at Fountain Hall. And then beyond that, I believe there's a guy, John William Noble, who I've never met yet, who is planting a church, Grace Baptist Church, in Woodside as we speak. And then there's also the church plant in the Great Northern Hotel, the Northern Hotel. But I believe it's moved away. But the point I want to say is this, that all of these church plants feed into St. Macher Academy. Yeah? And we need to reach the youth if the church is going to survive in Britain in the next 20 years. That's the bottom line. We need to reach a new generation for Christ. And I've tried to get all the pastors, the school pastors, the pastors from the area, the Scripture Union workers, and get them together once a month to pray. Why? Because if we work together, we can do more together. We can be more courageous together. We can take more risks together. And hopefully we can take the roof off, if you know what I mean, and try and make a difference to the whole area. You know, it's an exciting place to be to see so many church plants. God is behind this, folks. And it's important we grasp this. God's not finished with Aberdeen. You know, the greatest cynicism I feel sometimes is in the church and believing that God's not going to do anything. God is at work. And we need to believe that. And we need to work in partnership with other churches. You know, I love the way that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as they traveled through the promised land, they built altars. You know, places of worship in Cana to Yahweh. And it was against the background of total paganism. You know, they built an altar here and built an altar there as they moved through the land. But these altars were like markers in the sand, built in faith, that signposted beyond themselves that one day Yahweh would be worshipped throughout the whole land. It took a long time to get there, but they believed these little altars were the first signs of recovering the whole land for God. And likewise, also these church plants, they're like little altars built against the background of increasing secularism and its many gods. And these new church plants are like markers in the sand, altars that point beyond themselves, praying for the day that Jesus Christ will be Lord of all our communities. And the Aberdeen will be recovered for the glory of God. Do you have faith to believe that? You know, often we've been, I think, excited about the possibilities of Christ's return, you know. But sometimes that has hindered us from thinking, what if Christ doesn't return for another 50 years? What's our strategy as a church? What's our strategy? What are we going to leave as our Christian heritage for the next generation and for the next generation? We need to think more strategically. Now there's only 3% of Scotland evangelical. So right now there's a window of opportunity that's presenting itself. And this is our moment to unashamedly proclaim the good news, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captives, and release the prisoners from darkness. And if moving forward means bringing the roof down, then let's bring it down, that people may find healing and transformation through Jesus Christ. So, we need to work together, carry together, face obstacles together, be creative together, risk together, and by God's grace, see transformation together. So, here are some questions to think about before I go into my report. Who are the paralyzed in your community? What is your relationship with them? And who are your partners? How strong is your relationship with churches, agencies, police, council here? What risks, creativity is taking place to help alleviate the paralysis of our death-dealing culture? Because that's exactly what it is, you know? Halloween is celebrated 1,000 times more than the resurrection of Christ. You ever thought about that? We are a death-dealing culture. That we might bring people to Jesus for healing and renewal. So I leave that with you. So, on to the lighthouse. The vision statement of the lighthouse is to spearhead urban regeneration by acting as agents of social and spiritual renewal in a community through a loving, flourishing, worshipping, caring, serving, equipping, training support centre. Quite a lot of things there, but that's what, at least what we're trying to do. We've actually got four of our staff at the moment at the lighthouse. We've got Jill, who is just finishing her social degree. She is herself a recovered addict. It was 14 years in addiction, but the Lord wonderfully saved her, and she's got a real ministry in Tully Drone. And then we've got Ailey, who is a senior social worker who's just come to join us recently. And they work very well together and are doing a great work in individuals' lives and also running groups. We've also got this young guy with us here who's just joined us. His name's Matthew Hamilton. He's the new worker for Youth for Christ. If you remember Curtis, he moved on. And Matthew has replaced him. He's from Ireland. And if you know Stephen Hamilton, this is his cousin. So we've now got two Hamiltons working in the area, which is really good. But he's a really good lad, and we hope he makes a difference. And we've got Abby Rankin, who I'm sure you know very well here, who gives us a day a week. And Abby does, as I'll speak about her in a minute, does a great work. And we're grateful for Abby's contribution as well. You may remember that we had nowhere to go, and this used to be the Broadsword pub. There were many headlines, I've only put up a few, but the Broadsword was aptly named because it was a place of great violence and drunkenness, and there was always trouble, and the police were always there. Sometimes four or five police cars could be there at a weekend. It was a crazy place. Anyway, the amazing thing is that the Broadsword pub, and a lot of the guys have prayed against the pub for a long time, was actually sold to McCall's, and at this time we had nowhere to go because our original building was knocked down, and McCall's kindly gave us the upstairs flat of the pub for our offices free of charge for the last 2 years. Now, can you imagine this? I mean, this is an amazing thing. Here is the center of darkness in the community, right? A place where there's been endless trouble and drinking and all the rest of it. And it turns out now to be an upper room for our ministry where we can go there and pray for the renewal of the whole community. Amen? Only God can do that, yeah? So we've spent the last 2 years above the pub. As somebody said, we've swapped the broadsword for the sword of the Spirit. that we might actually bring renewal to the community. So we've been praying about that, and then of course we were waiting. It was all a waiting game. The new hub was being built. This is how it was looking, and it is now finished, and we've moved into the new hub. This is our new office. We've got four stations there, and also a little wee kind of meeting room. We've got actually the biggest office in the place. Yeah. So we see that as God's provision, and the groups are now moving in here. This is the group Radiate, which is run by Rebecca Lawrenson and Hannah Leith, and they are running this group on a Wednesday night for primary schools, and they get a good number along to that group, and they just do Bible stories and play games and different things, and the kids are quite regular and coming. So we've moved into the new hub, and we've got a good number of kids coming, yeah? So on the whole, that's working quite well, although some of them are, needless to say, a challenge. And then there's the Illuminate, which is the older group. Some of these folks have been doing presently. This one, this slide at least, was down in Matthew and Rebecca's house where they were doing Bible study. I might just say the guy to this guy here, Reese, maybe known to a number of you. He was converted about 3-4 years ago, and he went to get baptized, but his mom said no, he had to wait till he was 16. Well, he was 16 just 2 weeks ago, so he immediately said he wants to be baptized. And he's going to be baptized next Sunday. So it's good to see he came through the football team. He came as a goalkeeper and has got a sure faith. And some of the other guys there, another one of these guys made a profession of faith just last week at Abernethy. So God's working among the youth. This is them away in their away weekend. There was 18 youth from Tully went away to Abernethy just last weekend, and they had a really good time. They're a really good speaker, and God was speaking into their situations, yeah? So the majority are all from non-Christian homes, but this is what it's all about. It's breaking new ground, yeah? And it's exciting. So they had a wonderful time away. And we also, we're running presently Bible Alive in the school. You'll maybe see a Hebron face there. Thank you very much, Angie, for your wonderful contribution to Bible Alive. And Bible Alive's going really well, you know. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It just tells the grand narrative of salvation history in 7 sessions, Genesis right through to Revelation. Most of the kids don't really have a clue, and they're all really excited. I mean, one of the things that was encouraging for me, just must be 3 weeks ago, there was a pile of children came into the library, the main library, which is now in the hub, and they were all asking for books on the Bible, because they'd been engaging in Bible Alive and were really excited about the stories that they were learning. And some of the teachers as well have been very positive towards it. This is the second year we've been running that. So, you know, it's not exciting, yeah? It's good there's an open door to be able to share the whole story of the Bible. And then Scripture Union, start that next week when the schools go back, and there's usually about 10 to 15 kids turn up for that. So you might just remember these things in your prayers. TLG stands for Transforming Lives for Good. And that basically is the school provide us with children that are struggling. And we've got presently seven coaches. Gillian Mill was actually a coach. I don't know if she's here tonight, but she was a coach for a few years doing this with a guy. She went through primary and then saw him into secondary school as well. It's basically just getting alongside a child for 1 hour a week and staying with them and building a relationship with them, taking them out of the class, and sometimes even getting to know their parents and the wider issues of the family. And the school has really been supportive of this. It started off in England, and we were the first school in Scotland to actually put this in place, but it's quite a big movement throughout Britain in one-to-ones with children that are struggling in school. So that's something that we engage in. And now, of course, it's in St. Macher Academy, because the kids that started off 2 years ago are now in secondary school, and a lot of them in many ways need more support than when they go into secondary and primary. So you might remember that work TLG. If you've got a spare hour, a spare week, then it's something you could maybe get involved in, yeah? There's training and everything goes along with it, and it all takes place in school. Fairly safe environment, but it's been quite successful. The space is just an after-school club where people, teenagers come down and have a hot chocolate and things. It's more a relational thing. Not so much heavy on the spiritual, to get to know you thing, although they do little talks, but that is to feed them into other things. There was a while we were trying to teach music to those that couldn't afford lessons, and it's something that we would still like to keep doing. So the space has been on in a Thursday afternoon, but it'll probably be moving to a Friday night. And then the soccer school. We've run the school football team in Tullydrone for a number of years. Chris Leith was the original coach with that, with Curtis, and they did the training for years. The first couple of years, we never won a game, honestly. The best we ever did was get a draw. Sometimes it was scores like 15-3 and 12-4. I mean, if the goal was to be a great team, we'd failed miserably, but if the goal was to get the guys to come back next week and try again, then we achieved that goal. But, you know, a few years on, wind the clock forward, the team started doing better, the training got better, and we participated in the Dennis Law Championship, and we won. Yes, we did. We won the competition. And the great thing was, when Dennis Law came to get his award as the Freedom of the City Award, then he walked down Union Street, and the guys who were walking in front of him all the way down Union Street was actually the Tullydrone football team, yeah? So we were very pleased with that achievement, because it took a few years to get there. So the guys come on a Sunday, often they get their medals at the end of term. We've just got a new football strip, and it says on it, Lighthouse, transforming community through light and hope. So it's a good advert for us, because they wear them at school and they take them when they go and play their matches, yeah? So we also partner the Aberdeen Community Trust. They give us a number of season's tickets, and the point of that is to try and get dads with their kids or moms with their kids to go to matches every second Saturday, and to try and create community in broken families. So we get a number of tickets, and that's working quite well. We've also got groups running in the Lighthouse. We've got drop-ins. This is just a drop-in for guys. A lot of guys, they are struggling in different ways, older kind of men. We're trying to set up a partnership with Robert Gordon's University just now. One of the things they're really concerned about is that there are so many men who are over 40 in Scotland just now who have been in addiction or are still in addiction, living isolated lives and committing suicide. And it's really become a scourge on our nation. And Robert Gordon's are wanting to partnership with us and trying to meet more with guys who are over 40, who have got poor diets and are not involved in any kind of occupational therapy or doing very much, as a way of trying to reach into their life. So that's kind of ongoing at the moment, because we've plenty of guys who fit into that category. And with the same with the women, it's a drop-in. There's 12, 15 women come to the women's group most weeks as well. It's a good community thing, and it breaks isolation and gets people out, and it's the first step on their road towards spiritual groups as well, yeah? And then the Transform group, which is more young mums. A lot of these mums have been coming for years, and that's a pretty strong group, and their kids also have a little program in the creche where they are also taught the Word of God. So it's a very good group, this, and it runs very well. And a number of these ladies, probably about half of them, are now coming on a Sunday morning to the church services. We have weekends away. It's a big thing for them, you know. Sometimes you forget what it's like being in poverty. You're not going on holiday anywhere all year. Can't afford to go. Your kids never go away. So a weekend at Fascally House is fantastic, because it might be the only time they are away. And for a number of mums and kids, that is reality, yeah? So we have a great time going to Fascally House. And, the community is actually quite strong these days that we've managed to build over the years. Mainly Music, I don't need to speak about that, because you've got it here, haven't you? You're on it here, yeah, Mainly Music. So we've a waiting list of so many folk coming. We're actually out the door with people. We could probably run two now if we had the volunteers a week. There's so many kids and moms coming from the community. But again, it's a really, really good tool. It's a first chance to meet with people. And, you know, there's all these different songs, but there's also songs that engage with the spiritual as well and trying to get people to think about God and all that. We have a big Polish community actually attend this group in Tully. And of course, this all leads on, this is the whole point of all these groups, that they'll finally lead on to spiritual formation, and people will attend Bible studies. The women are going through Crazy Love just now, which is actually going really well, and the guys are going through, the guys are going through Thessalonians, who've just started it. They're a motley crew, but it's great. You know, everybody comes tells me there's not a Bible study like it in town, and there probably isn't. And it's a highlight of the week. You know, people are so honest about their life and where they're at and all the rest. So, we've got loads of folk coming. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah? And a lot of these people are ex-addicts or still addicts, but they come to Bible study. They want to engage with God and prayer and worship. So, that is really something quite important. You know, it's counterculture, but it works. And then we've got the Trussell Food Bank. That's another partner that we work with just now. And we're trying to increase our team, so we're opening a Monday and a Friday and trying to engage. Trussell run a very good food bank service because they're not just dishing out food. They get to try and know the clients and then find out if there are deeper issues in their life. You know, if they're dealing with addiction, then they send them to the Timmer Market. If they're dealing with debt, then they can go to CAP and so on. So it's more than just about food, you know. As people said, the food bank is meant to be a lifeline, not a lifestyle. And that's always a great danger, that people come not just for a lifeline, but as a lifestyle. In other words, if we can get all our food for you, that means we can go and buy our booze, and we won't have to buy food, you know. But we're trying, obviously, to avoid that, saying, well, if you come here, you need to engage. You know, we're trying to move you on, not just to dish out food, although emergency packs are always being given out. So this is Sundays at the Lighthouse. This is the new hub, and we're able to have our lunch there every Sunday. And, we can get anything from 40 to 70 people along on a Sunday. And there could be 20, 30 people there most Sundays that are still to come to a living faith in Jesus, yeah? But it's wonderful that they're coming and making the effort to come, yeah? So here we are, and this is Chris Leith, who is engaging, Derek's brother. We're trying to raise up a whole new team of young guys who are preachers. It's great. And Matthew Lawrenson is a fantastic preacher as well. And Matty Carson was speaking today, and some of these guys are doing well. And it's a great platform to be actually sharing the Word of God with so many people there that still haven't come to faith. So that's also one of the goals, that we're able to train up young men in this context. Christmas is coming, and we get a big crowd at Christmas. Last year we were packed out the door, so we're looking forward to having even more folk along this year, if possible. And we're doing women's aid training just now, so this is a team that's going through that with domestic abuse. Alison Hayes taking us through that. Some of these things are challenging, needless to say. I mean, this is not easy stuff to be dealing with at all, but we do feel that we want to get this group up and running, certainly by the turn of the year. Last year, we had about 330 people come through the Lighthouse. We gave out 2,000 food bags, and this is the interesting thing, 9,500 volunteer hours. That's not bad, is it? Yeah? We've got a very good volunteer team. Over 70 volunteers that give time to the Lighthouse, yeah? And, you know, that, for me at least, that's one of the great miracles about the Lighthouse, because the Lighthouse has been on the go for 16 years, and most of the volunteers we have given at least 10 years, some of them 12, some of them 14 years. And, you know, I am deeply grateful for that, I can tell you, because without the volunteers, the whole thing would just collapse. Now, just to keep you up to speed, we feel the hub's a wonderful new place, but it ain't going to be big enough for us long term. And so we are looking for another building. Now, there's not many buildings in Tully Drone, yeah? But the council are offloading buildings at the moment because they don't have money to retain them or maintain them. And so there are buildings that might be coming up, and there's such a thing as a CAT process. That is community asset transfer, where the council, if you tick all the boxes, will transfer a building to a particular group if they feel it is benefiting the community. Yeah. So we are at a stage where we're just beginning to engage in all this, and we don't know where it'll all land up. We're hoping it'll land up in our direction, but we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. So I value prayer for that as well, because that will give us, root us, hopefully long term. We're talking about long term strategy, and if we got our own place, this is the old library and health centre. So it's a fair scalp of a building, and it would do us for many years to come. But, you know, we don't know what the final outcome of this will be, but it's something I would certainly value your prayers for that, yeah? So here we go. If we hear some prayer points just as we finish. Relationships within the hub with the council and others. The Bible Alive at Riverbank. The good relations with the police, the council, school network, and so on. Domestic abuse training and the launch of that program. The church plant timeline. I haven't really spoke much about that. We're not officially a church yet, but we're heading that way, and we'll hopefully be a church before long, officially. We need more volunteers for Scripture Union, TLG, and the food bank. We need to pray for the staff, their workload, client situations. Every week is challenging. We need a new administrator. Our administrator moved on. We're looking for someone else to come in and work a 30-hour week, at least. And for this cut, possibilities and transfers, yeah? So that would be the things that we would value prayer for. So I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming here tonight. And may the Lord bless you here. I know you're working with other churches in this area as well, and, you know, it's so important. So we need to take courage, folks. Yeah? We need to take courage. Put our best foot forward, and let's see, you know, what the Lord can do for us in trying to break the paralysis of so much in so many communities in this city. Yeah? So may the Lord bless you. Thank you.